Last Sunday morning, Pastor Keith said, we need to hear God's voice. We need to know what God is saying to this church. This morning, Kathy brought the word. We are one body, and it is in line with my message. And then Joshua preached my message this morning. But I don't know why God chooses always to give me the most difficult scripture that there are in the Bible. For Joshua, he gives an easy scripture to bring forth his word. For me, he gives the most difficult one. The scripture God has laid upon my heart now 2 weeks ago. I woke up one morning and wasn't even a part of the Bible that I read. And I just got the scripture in my mind. And it didn't leave me. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 4 says, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now you can ask me, what on earth are you going to preach about on that scripture? That's the scripture that God gave me. All the men in the church screams and says, yes, I love Paul. I love Paul. Paul knows exactly what goes on in a man's heart. The wife must be quiet. She must not ask questions. She must ask questions at home for her own husband. And she does not have authority over her body. And all the women says, oh my, how long will we suffer because of the sin of Eve? But it's not totally not what the scripture says. Men, if you think that way, you are wrong. You are wrong. That's not what Paul meant at all. All right, so what does this scripture mean? It means, and this is the message of my sermon tonight, I decrease and God increases. Less of me and more of you, God. And if you attend prayer meetings in this church, you will realize that that is what Pastor Keith's heart is. That is what the leader's heart is. That is what we are praying many times in the prayer meetings. Less of me and more of you, my God. And that is exactly what the scripture says. Wife's body is not hers, but the husband's. So husbands, if your wife's body is yours, you will care for it. You will love it. You will cherish it. You will look after it. You will protect it. Because we love ourselves. Is that not true? And because we love ourselves and your wife's body is yours, you will love her body. You will love her also. And you will cherish her. All right. And that is one of the principles that God wants to teach us tonight out of the scripture. Usually what happens is, it starts in the natural. If you are born again, where does it start? In the natural. You confess Jesus Christ with your mouth. Naturally. What happens? God lets a miracle take place in the spiritual. You are born again. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. I'm a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Natural first, spiritual second. Also with the Israelites moving out of Egypt. They were taken out of Egypt, the Israelites, in the natural. They were brought before the Red Sea. They were baptized through the Red Sea, through the waters of the Red Sea. Other side of the Red Sea, they came out, new nation. They went into the wilderness. They partake of the spiritual fruit, the quail, the manna. They ate of it. They walked in the desert. They drank out of the waters of life, out of the rock which is Jesus Christ. Isn't it exactly what happens to us also, spiritually? We are taken out of Egypt, spiritually. We are born again, set free from sin. and the curse of sin. We go through the waters of baptism, come out, new person. We partake of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we drink of the waters, the living waters, Jesus Christ, His Word. We drink of those. All right. Let me just see where I am now. You cannot separate the natural from the spiritual. As you are in the natural, so you are also in the spiritual. And that is why God gave this scripture to us. Husbands, your wife's body, that speaks of at home. What happens at home happens in the church also. You can't be hypocrites. You can't be at home one person and in the church another person. You can't be holier than thou in the church and butter doesn't melt in your mouth, but at home you curse and shout and scream. Starts at home, and then you bring it into the church. What happens in the at home is also in the church. First Corinthians 9 verse 11. If we have sown spiritual things for you, it is a great thing that we also reap the material things. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. First the natural, then we receive also from the spiritual. The world out there, they lord over people. You do as I say, or else. Many of your bosses is like that. Government is like that. Many. But it shouldn't be a Christian. The Bible says specifically, Christians should not lord over. A Christian should operate in a gentle, loving spirit. All right, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5 speaks of the world system that we live in at the moment. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Isn't that what's happening in the world? If you look out there, this morning when I came to church, all that you see is Porsches going past me on their way to Hartbeespoort Dam for the breakfast run. They don't care about church. They're not interested in coming to church. It's all about me. I, myself. Children, they don't obey parents anymore. Unthankful. Oh. Ungodly. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. Headstrong. Haughty. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. That's what's happening in the world. Should not happen in the church. We've got the true God. The church have got a form of godliness. I'm a good person. God does not send good people to hell. As long as I haven't murdered anybody, I haven't stole pen or stationery that I took from work, that's not stealing. I'm a good person. I've got news for you. As Ryan preached a few weeks ago, hell is full of good people. Being good doesn't qualify you to go to heaven. All right. Satan uses the I, the me, the myself, as a weapon to nullify God's word. Where this war comes from, the Bible says, comes from pride, comes from me, my will. Where this fight in the home starts from, I, me, you do as I say, or otherwise. You don't do it my way. Isn't that what's happening? Because we don't see our wives as our own bodies. We don't respect her. We don't love her. We don't cherish her anymore. And Satan will destroy us. The I is so important. I don't come to church on a Sunday night anymore. That's my time. I want to spend some time in front of the television. It's me. Prayer meetings. Oh, it's a schlep. You know, I travel 7 miles to get to church. It's a lot of effort just for a prayer meeting. The me, the I. Ministries of help. No, I'm not going to get involved in the church. Isn't it exactly what Joshua preached this morning? Luckily, there are some people that wasn't in church this morning, so they hear the message for the first time. Ministry of helps. No, it's my comfort zone. I want to start to help in the church. Oh, it's going to take an effort. Oh, no. Me. All right. Romans 12, verse 9 to 11. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Chase away that is what is evil, and cling, draw closer that which is good. Be kind, affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. That is what this the body is all about. Love one another. Be kind to one another. Think of one another higher than what you think of yourself. All right. Jesus is our ultimate example. He set the example for us. We so easily carry that armband. What will Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Do we do what Jesus did? Jesus died for us, for me and for you, while we were still sinners. When we were sinners, we were the enemy of God. When we were the enemy of God, Jesus died for us. He said, that price is not too high. I will pay that price gladly. All right. The Bible also speaks of the highest form of love is to die for another. Is that correct? How can you die for somebody else if you don't see them higher than what you see yourself? Right. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one another's well-being. If you start to seek your own, then you fall into the trap. Then Satan's got your hold of you. And it all becomes me, I, myself. And you start to judge. And you start to think bad of other people. And you start to call them names. Blondie and stupid. I've just promised I'll pick on Stacy. Just a joke. I'm not judging you, Stacy. All right. Seek other people higher than what you seek yourself. All right. That is what the scripture teaches us tonight. The whole born-again experience shouts at us, screams to you. It's no longer I that liveth, but it's Christ that lives in me. And it's so difficult to crucify the self, the I. Bible says, crucify yourself daily, but it's so difficult. The I always wants to pop up. The I, the me, it's all about me, always wants to come up. Always wants to be on top. It's the world. It's not supposed to be a Christian. no longer you that lives. It's Christ that lives in you. And now you should do the works of Christ that lives in us. Oh, so difficult. All right. But it is impossible. It is possible, and it's important that we do it, because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. It is possible. But we have to make that decision. All right, we have to place other people's needs above our needs. Joshua said it this morning. Means that you go hungry to feed somebody else. Means that you are not clothed. You are cold to give somebody a warm blanket. Takes from you. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 7. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works through all. So we see here, the gifts come from the Spirit. Ministries comes from the Lord, Jesus Christ. And the activities or the workings comes from God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. We need to profit all in the church. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about myself. It's about God. It's about the church. It's about the body, as Kathy said this morning. All right. God asks us, whatever we do, say, put other people's needs first. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28 to 31. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gift. And yet I show you a more excellent way. We think, if I only can be an evangelist, I've made it. If I can be a prophet, I've achieved it. Then I'm something for God. If I do miracles, that is great. God can really use me. But God says, no, all these things are there. But then the verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Although you are a prophet, although you are a healer, although you are a miracle worker, I will show you a more excellent way. Is there something more excellent than being those things? Yes. And the answer gives us in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1. Pursue love. Pursue love. Love is more excellent than all those things. If you can't operate in love, those things are nothing. Pursue love.
Brings us to this church. And luckily I'm not the pastor, so I can throw a few spanners into the wheels. We say this morning Pastor Keith said, yes, we're a church of love, and we are, yes. But we haven't arrived. We haven't arrived there. Do we operate in love? Do we seek the other people in the church higher than what we seek ourselves? If a baby starts to cry in the pews, do we immediately become upset and say, that woman, doesn't she know that there's a mother's room at the back? Or can we at least for 5 minutes try to be patient and accommodate her? Have you put yourself in her shoes? Oh my. This church, we love to give. We give. It's a gift. We give Sunday mornings, coffee and tea. But let somebody just dare to put 5 sugars in the coffee. Oh my. Our blood starts to boil. Those people, they're not used to anything. We give it. You can't give a gift with voorwaardes. What's that in English? Conditions. Unconditionally, if you give. God gives us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's no condition with it. It's to profit. Yes, the youth served it this morning. Beautiful, excellent. I myself also guilty. Because I hate when I go to the sugar bowl and I find somebody put a wet teaspoon into the sugar. I hate it. And the sugar turned yellow. I don't touch it anymore. I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. But rather than to judge and condemn, find a way around. Get those sugar shakers, if that is what. Get packets of sugar. Buy that. Not the church, you, me, that's got the problem with it. Amen. Do we really walk in love? Do we, if somebody walks in, me again, I'm guilty of it. They just come to the church to get money. They weren't here for the whole service. They arrived at the end. Is God maybe testing us as a church? Do we fail? Operate in love. Put other people before yourself. Oh, it's so difficult. But that's what God requires of us. That's what God wants us. Amen. Hatred. Anger. Where does that anger comes from? Usually comes from the me, the I, that is not obeyed. And because the me and the I is not listened to and obeyed, you become angry. And you throw a tantrum. Amen. I think I've preached enough. So if I've stepped on anybody's toe, forgive me. I'm just as guilty as you are. All I'm asking is, let us operate in love. That is what God asks. God knows our hearts. You can't hide anything from God. God knows our hearts. He knows where you get angry, where you don't get angry. He knows if the me, the I, is still the king in your life, or whether you've placed Jesus Christ and made him the king of your life. All right. So tonight, as a church, we'd love to pray with you. If you've got anger problems, if you've got problems with the me, the I, this myself, I'm guilty of it. And I think everybody, I invite you, and me, Pastor Keith, Pastor Dave, will love to pray with you. It's not us that's praying. It's not the prayer. It's God that changes you. It's God that convicts you. I'm just the messenger. If you're not happy with my message, stone me. But the message comes from God. It's not me. It's God's word. Amen.